using your word that we are your battle axe and weapon of war. Father, and even as wailing women, God, we come to this session, Father, so that you can train us, God, you can equip us, Father, for the task that is ahead of us, Father. I say, Lord, today, thank you for this training, Father. Thank you for Sister Lovorn, Father, for using her, God, so that she can, oh God, enlighten us, oh Father, oh God, as she share with us, Father. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to engulf her, Father, and let her mouth, oh Father, bring glory and honor to your name, Father. I place every, oh God, lady that is on this platform, Lord, into your hands, Father. I pray, God, that you're going to use us as that mighty army, God, that you're looking for, Father. I place everything into your hands that's going to be said and done this afternoon, Father. You take full control. Let it bring glory and honor to your name, Father, because we are your end time army, Father. And we know that you're depending upon us, God. You equipping us, God, for the task that is ahead of us, Father. And I say, thank you, God, for everything that will be said and done this afternoon. Holy Spirit, take full control of this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, so I say welcome, Stacy. I see the face. Welcome. Welcome. And don't be ashamed.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm very much elated this afternoon. And I smile to myself today because I don't know if it's the first time, but I always have a breaking record that the homework is completed by the teacher. So I noticed some people still not being obedient. All right, some people still not being obedient. Okay, so you have homework, so I'm allowing the students to start the ball going with their homework, and just put your hand up if you are going to say something, and let's keep going. We said our homework deal with section 3, our equipment. Know your coach, know your weapons, God armory. And we said, Sabrina, remind us what the homework is all about. Unmute your mic, Sabrina. Your mic is...
Sorry.
All right.
My apologies.
All right.
To know our coach, we were to definitely read about and make notes about our weapons. We were also to do some research on Usain Bolt. To, I guess, do a kind of comparative study in terms of the methods and the things that he did in order to prepare himself for his races.
All right. So start the ball, Sabrina, my student.
Okay.
Natara, could you unmute your mic? Mute your mic, please. You could put on the video, but mute the mic. Thank you very much until you are going to speak. Thank you, Pastor Esther. Welcome. Mute your mic. Mm-hmm. Let's go, Sabrina.
Well, I found it fascinating in doing the research, the little bit that I was able to get in about Usain Bolt, that it is alleged that he looked at the way the cheetah ran and the build of the cheetah. The cheetah is built for speed. So when you look at the slimness of the chest, when you look at the elongated legs and the movement. So apparently Usain Bolt, there's a way that the leg is swung forward that gives you greater momentum. And he...
You're breaking up, Sabrina.
He was able, the leg is thrust backwards, that gives speed, and you need to be running upright so that you don't have any accidents on the track. And so he was able to implement those actions from the cheetah into his practice, and that assisted him in becoming one of the fastest person in the world.
Okay, thank you.
And I know there's something about the diet, because I remembered some time back that they were thinking about banning, I think it was the cassava or some root crop that he would have. I remember that distinctly.
Anybody here on from Jamaica as yet? I can't remember. Who is from Jamaica?
Isn't Miss Hewitt? Lorraine.
Where's Hewitt? Oh, yes.
Corner, yes.
Oh, yes, Lorraine, yes.
Yes.
I know Jamaica, yes. I remember being in Jamaica one year, and every time we go for breakfast, it was yam and dashing, and you go for lunch and you get the same thing, you know? And yes, Sabrina, you're so correct. I heard that.
Lorraine, yes. I just need to know, was it white yam or yellow yam?
It's yellow yam.
Oh, it's a yellow yam.
Yellow yam.
I don't like the yellow yam. It has a little bitter taste.
Me neither. I rather the white yam.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much, Sabrina. Anybody else? Kenya?
No, I didn't study Usain Bolt.
You don't have to speak about him. You speak about one of the weapons.
Oh,
no. Yes.
I did Ephesians, and Ephesians is telling us that we cannot deal with the enemy in the flesh. You know, we have to guard ourselves from head to toe. And we have to put on the full armor of God. And because the enemy is so cunning and they deal with wickedness in heavenly places. So we really and truly have to be prepared when we're dealing with the enemy. And we have to guard ourselves, like I say, from head to toe. And, we have to put on, we have to have truth in us. We have to be righteous. We have to be protected by the gospel and most of all the shield of faith. So we have to be really covered and know that when we are dealing with the enemy, it is no time to play. We have to really be covered from head to toe with the word of God. And we have to be armored and put on the breastplate. So when we're dealing with the enemy, we know we're going to war. So that was one of the things I noticed. And I also was trying to figure out what was a battle axe. So I know a battle axe was what it was in the ancient days. It was a broad blade used in ancient war. So I was trying to study up on that. So, and in the word it said in Jeremiah, we were supposed to put on, we are God battle axes, and we know that as male and women, we have God battle axe. So I wanted to know what a battle axe was. And so he said that we are his battle axe. So we have to be doing his warrant for him. So I also, that's why I wanted to know what the battle axe was. So that's
okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, and you described it. It's a it's a large, broad bladed axe used in ancient warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Ancient warfare. So when you hear that we are battle axes, it means then we have a broad blade, and we as soldiers can be dangerous if we really, really seek God and do what God put on the whole armor, put on the tools. And remember on Tuesday, I was saying to you that God has given us so many weapons, 101 and perhaps more. of weapons for us to use. I don't know if you can see this. Can you see that?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yes. That's a battle axe, Kenya. All right. Anybody else want to share before there? Miss Rock? You want to share anything before we have? Okay, I know. Brenda Lee, give me a second. That's why I told you if you put on, I would see the hand. Okay. Because I have to look at the broadcast. Yes? Miss Rock, your mic is muted.
Yeah, the only thing that I had written was pertaining to preparation and position, and also to be honest of where we are in the Lord, so that we can take see where we are, and then work accordingly.
Okay. Yes, we have to position ourselves. We must be in a position, and our position are supposed to be watchmen on the walls, watchmen at the gates. And the homework that Sabrina gave to me, you would understand why we have to position ourselves. As battle axes, we must position ourselves. When we are being called upon, we must be in place. And remember, I said that what we need to do is to use our knowledge about an army, how an army is being trained. You think about the US Army, how it has been trained vigorously. So this is part of our training, and that's why I said to us, if you know somebody who is a willing woman or who may not be a willing woman and who is willing to be part of the classes every Tuesday and Thursday, it will be important for us, because more watchmen on the wall, dedicated watchmen on the wall, is more we would be able to conquer the enemy. Yes, Brenda Lee, I see your hand up.
And I also had. Okay.
Go ahead, Brenda Lee, you mute your mic.
I don't think Ms. Rock was finished.
Ms. Rock, you're not finished?
No, I was going on to
next. Oh, sorry. Question. I apologize.
Where are diet? Just like how in the natural, when you are an athlete, like for example, Bolt, his diet was just as important spiritually, or diet is just as important, because when we fill our life with things of the Lord, it helps you to grow. Your spirit is you mature in the things of God. Uh-huh. And that is one of the weapons also. So thank you.
You're welcome. And you are so correct with that. In the natural, we eat 3 meals. Some people maybe more. Depends on your diet. Some people eat small. Some people eat small bits, and some people eat large bit, but it depends. Your diet in the spiritual must be the time when you spend in the secret place. Psalm 91, that also is being emphasized as wailing woman. Once you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Pastor Esther, it's okay, I saw your message. All right. Let me say that we have to finish. We give ourselves up until, say, 8:15, because this platform has to be used for another meeting. All right, Brenda-Lee, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I look at it from a relay team, seeing that we in the Bahamas had the Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at it from the training and everything, I look at it body, soul, and spirit. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Brock pick up, so she took, I didn't have to talk about that, but the body, how we needed to be fit and what we eat and how we get the proper exercise and get enough rest and, so that our body and our soul can work out what our spirit man needs it to work out. But I look at it as one unity, as far as where Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 20, that thou all may be one as thy Father are in me and I am in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So like a relay team, it had to be in unity. They had to train together and work out together and know who's going first and who's going to take the baton next, and has to be focused. So I read something from a pastor, and I thought of today it was really, really right on time. And his wife did a sermon, and she said, faith operating constantly until satisfied. So it's meaning that we have to keep our faith working, that we will run the race. And so I wrote, and it wrote this way: focus on the important issue. Don't get distracted. Stay in faith. Keep your eyes on the prize. Set a pace for the race. And like relay runners, they have to have pace. It has to be a certain pace to pass the baton and all of that. And then keep on moving forward. But from the spirit part of it, I saw it too also, running to the heart of the Father, where that secret place you mentioned about just now. And seize each day that the end will be safe at the end we'll win the race, because when we run into our Father's heart, his heart is a covenant-keeping heart. He is faithful, he is true, he is loving. He is strong. And then there, when we run into that secret place, we will be empowered that we could come back out and seize the moment and continue the race and win the battle. That was how I saw it.
Okay, excellent. Good. And that is so true. We have to feed, as Sister Rock said, feed the body, the soul. As she said, we must go on a diet. And Brenda-Lee reinforced it, saying the body, soul, and spirit, it is supposed to be fed holistically. All round, we can't feed the soul and the body is not being fed. We can't feed the spirit. So just as our soul prosper, our soul, our inner man prosper, it glows on the outside. Persons are supposed to see the difference within us as we grow. Thank you very much. And Pamela, did you read? Pamela, did you do
anything? I haven't read yet.
Okay, Pamela.
Okay, Psalm 144. We were talking about my coach.
Oh, okay.
Psalm 144, 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
My coach is the Lord.
All right.
He's my strength. He teaches my hands to war, my fingers to fight. He's my goodness, he's my high tower, he's my deliverer, my shield, my fortress. He subdues my people under me. But I also want to read it out of the Good News Bible. It says, praise the Lord, my protector. He trains me for battle. and prepares me for war. He is my protector and defender, my shelter and savior, in whom I trust for safety. He subdues the nations under me. So I read it from the King James and the Good News.
Okay, amen. So he subdued the nation under me. So we have to make sure we say that, Pamela, with confidence. He will subdue Dominica under me. He will subdue the Bahamas under me. He will subdue Guyana under me. He will subdue Venezuela under me. We have to claim and we have to say it with all, not just say it, but say it with all confidence. He shall. God will subdue. That's a covenant he made, and he's the covenant keeping God. Now, a spiritual athlete must know that the spirit world is real. Even sometimes we may be Christians for years and we really don't understand the spirit world. The word says we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit world is real, and know how to war without beating the air. Remember, we're talking about the bullets that we need to fire. I don't know how many of us would have seen the prophetic word from the coordinators. And if we look at them very carefully, they have prayer points. They have bullets. When we launch the bullets, they are supposed to hit the target. We are not supposed to miss. And that is why it is so important that we must run with the rules of the kingdom. And those who came in, that's the topic, running with the rules of the kingdom. Those of you who may not have the textbook, the training manual, I would advise us to look at the website. Tuesday, somebody wrote the website up on the chat, so it can be written up on the chat for those who came in for the first time. Somebody in the class who know it, just put it on the chat so that those who are new can look at the website. Wailing Woman Caribbean, Worldwide Caribbean has a website, and I saw a bit of it, and it's really good. The lessons from the training manual earlier and the mandate is there. So you just go peruse it and take what is necessary. Okay, things we must know. What weapon to use for which battle? That is very important. If the enemy is afar off, you can't use the battle axe. All right? And you must know, David used a weapon of war. He could not go close to Goliath. So what he did, he used the sling and the smooth stone. Valerie Tony, could you mute your mic, please? Thank you. Now, the word. When I was looking at this, yes, we have verses, Proverbs 15:1, Ezekiel 37:1-14, Luke 4:1-13. But as I was looking at that, the verse that came to me is, thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not do what? Sin against thee. Thy word. The word is very important. Jesus used the word when the enemy tested him. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of who? The mouth of God. So when God speaks to us, it is powerful. So we can use the word to hit our enemy. The word says, his word shall not return unto him void, but they shall accomplish. And we know that words are powerful enough. The word says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if we wake up a morning and we say, oh, today would not be a good day, you know what's going to happen? The day won't be a good day. But if we wake up in a frame of mind and say, oh, the sun is shining, even though the clouds are there, the sun is still shining, and you go happy, go lucky, singing praises unto Jehovah God, your day would be a pleasant day. But if you doubt your day, if you don't command your day, if you don't say, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Laverne will rejoice and be glad in the name of the Lord. Somebody's asking me for, yes, I'm using the training manual one. So the words are very, and we have to be very careful with our words. Don't use any word. Be specific with your words. Just as when we pray, you pray specifically for the need, the prayer points. And as I said before, though I guess every person's hands would be on the prophetic words from the coordinators, and there are prayer points. Those of us who are in various chapters, we pray the prayer points. They're those that have Bible verses. For example, Sabrina gave me a homework and I was there and I keep pondering, and God is good. As soon as I found it in there, remember I was referring to words from the Father's heart, I found it and I had the scripture verse just came to me, boom. So when we are in God's plan, his word, we must hid in our heart. We must learn, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. He didn't say any word, but it must be the word of truth. We have to know our enemy. We know who we are playing with, so you don't fool around. You can't fool around on the battleground. We have to be ready. We have to be seriously minded. As battle axes, we have to be always be on our alert. So when the command is given from the commander that we shall arise, we should arise. Don't think a second what she's or he's talking about. God, what are you saying to me? And we spend so many times asking, God, why me? So why are we not asking God, why not me? Because where God leads us, he's willing to take us. So know the word. We go to school and we learn the word. We learn the lesson. We do the French and the English. And we do the math and the science and the social studies. We do well because we say to ourselves, we have to be the head and not the tail. So let's put that into context with the word of God, with our spiritual life, with our Christianity. Now, the next thing is creation, the sun. I have a book, I said, and it's a lot, eh? You have the sun. Now you have the sun, the moon, the fire, hailstone, locust, water, and the wind. Those can be used. Those of you who we have to learn to invest in things concerning the word of God. We always invest in secular things. But I am going to look for one that is, let me see if I find one that I can give an example. I can give an example of. because the one here, there's a lot. I'm looking for the hailstone. The hailstone. Let me deal with the hailstone. 117. 117. Okay, hailstones. Those of us, well, in the Caribbean, we might not be sure what hailstones are, but hailstones, God is a God of vengeance. He said he will repay us. All right, so when our enemies come up like a flood, let us not worry. But we know hailstone was used to attack farms. Psalm 78:45. So if you have paper, you write that down so that you can read it over. Students, we are supposed to read. Don't put down the book and leave it there. Psalm 78:41, he destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. God uses hailstone to slay the enemy of his people, according to Joshua 10:11. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethaven unto Zechan, and they die. They were more which die with hailstone than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. So the enemy comes in, God, fight he with hailstone. Use your hailstone according to Joshua and destroy the enemy. When hailstone is poured on the enemy, there's no way they can run. Where shall they hide? You remember what David said? Where shall I go from a presence, Lord? Nobody can hide from God. And when we are praying as kingdom people, as battle axe, we have to pray by faith. Faith is a substance of things not seen. All right? We have to use faith now. So we have the moon and the stars. We know around 12 o'clock, like in the same book I talk about, Command the Morning, you will see prayer in it that tells you that the enemy are going to speak to the moon and the sun, even fire. Oh yes, look, hailstone here, and locusts, water, and the wind, the four corners of the wind from the north, south, east, west. God send your wind and blow the enemies away. The locusts to eat up the plants. A few years ago, locusts came in the Caribbean. The fire, God send your fire and destroy the enemy camp. We are watchmen on the wall. We see the enemy coming. Don't be afraid, because those who are for us are more than those who are against us. And I think we also spoke about Joshua. Who is Joshua? Joshua took over after Moses, and he... Remember earlier we spoke about Achan, what Achan did? They had victory over Jericho. And when they were going to fight the smaller nation beat them. Twice Joshua sent up men. And then he inquired of God, what is really happening? And God said to him, let me use that word. Okay, God spoke to Joshua and let him know that there was sin in the camp. And where the sin came from, it was Achan. Achan took the spoil from Jericho when God told them not to. To obey is better than sacrifice. And Joshua, when he was fighting, he asked the sun to stand still. I'm encouraging us to read, please. Those who don't have the book, let me call the scriptures out for you. Write them down so that you can read them. So when you talk about the word, Proverbs 15:1, Ezekiel 37:1-14, Luke 4:1-13. That's when you talk about the word. When you talk about creation, creation has to do with the sun, the moon, fire, hailstone, locust, water, wind. And remember, I told you the person who wrote the book is Dr. David K. Olukola. Can't pronounce these names, these African names too good. But if you go and do some research, you will be able to pick up some of his prayer points. All right? Silence, according to Isaiah 36:21. Can somebody find that and read Isaiah 36 and verse 21 quickly? Somebody keep me abreast of the time, please.
I will read.
Go ahead.
36:21.
Yes.
But they held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not.
Okay, so a command was given that remain quiet. You know, silence? Silence is a great weapon, you know. If we observe when we speak, the enemy use, if Eve had stayed in silence, the enemy would not have known what she was, what her thoughts are. He can't read our minds. It is when we act upon what we are thinking. When you hold a conversation with the devil, he's going to use what you say to hit you back. In the natural, it's the same thing. When you stay in quiet confidence in God, and God would say to us, be still and know that he's God. There are times he wants us to sit in quiet confidence. Lucy, Joseph, could you mute your mic, please? All right, so silence is golden. When we don't say, don't speak if you don't have to speak. And remember, we said words are powerful. If it's negative, don't say it. The blood of Jesus, according to Revelation 12:11, it is important. The blood of Jesus is used. If we are going through a difficult patch or difficult moments and we don't know what to do, if we are being attacked by the enemy, what we just say, the blood of Jesus on you. You remember the account with the children of Israel in Egypt? They had to kill an animal, and they had specific rules were given for the type of animal, and put the blood over the lintel post so that when the death angel comes, those lintel posts that have the blood, it would pass over. If it didn't have the blood, then that angel would take the firstborn. And you know what? Battle axes, gatekeepers, we have a stronger blood than the blood of the animal, the blood of Jesus. When we say the blood of Jesus, even the atmosphere changes. It is powerful. It reaches to the highest mountain, flows to the lowest valley. It will never, ever lose its power. It is there for our use. It is right there. It should be on our tongue. So if anything happens and we don't know what else to do, if we don't know a Bible verse to give to the enemy and say he shall flee, the blood of Jesus. It is powerful. Now, it says discuss other examples. Now, another example is prayer. Sometimes some people of the opinion that we have to kneel down and we always have to be in the secret place, but you can be driving and talking to God. You can be in the kitchen and talking to God. You can sit down in the living room. You can go on the beach. Somebody was explaining on Tuesday that, you know, they go on the beach and they talk to God. They walk, you know, you can watch the shells and watch the sand and see how the water roll in and say, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty, wonderful Savior we serve. We can talk to him any day, any moment. His telephone line is never busy. I might call Kenya and she on another line, but when I call on the name of Jesus, he's right there. So prayer, talking to him, and prayer means also listening to him. You need to sit in quiet confidence, in silence, like what he told, Elisha, go in the cave and wait there. Sit in quiet confidence and say, God, what it is you have to say to me today? I want to listen to what you're saying. Worship. Worship is another way we can use as a weapon. Put on the garment of praise. Worship him in spirit and truth. They that worship him, give God praise. If maybe you might say, oh, but I don't have a wonderful voice. Go to YouTube and put on Nathaniel Bassi and there's another lady there. They worship. Even though you may not know the words, hum the words. You are home alone, play gospel music. Turn off the bad news at times and put on the good news. You have the Bible now on audio. So while you're working, put it on and just let it soak into your system. The word of God is powerful. It's a two-edged sword. So worship the fire of God. Elijah rained down. When he prayed, he had the prophets of Baal, and he told them to call on his God, their God. And they called from morning until evening. And Elijah was teasing them. Why he could have done that? Because the God whom he served, he knew that God was going to answer him by fire. And the fire came and consumed all the sacrifice. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So we can rain down fire upon the enemy. Fire of God, rain down. This situation is getting more than I could handle, so I'm leaving it in your hand, God. Rain down your fire. Consume. And he would hear us, okay? The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. Call upon the name of Jesus. And the enemy, Satan, doesn't like to hear the name of Jesus, you know. You notice in all he going back and forth, he don't say anything about Jesus. He go, he approached God, not Jesus. So when you call the name of Jesus, he hears us and he comes in. As wailing woman, we have to do a lot of prayer and fasting. Fasting. Remember Brendley spoke about the body, soul, and spirit. We have to detox the body. Get rid of the toxin, whether it's spiritual toxin or the natural toxin. We need to spend time. And, you know, sometimes a lot of us like to use the excuse, oh, I'm a diabetic. Oh, I have pressure case. Oh, I have kidneys. Oh, listen to me. When God is in our vessel, we can smile at the storm. You may not want to do a full fast, but but you can do without a meal. You can do the Esther fast. Read up on it. I can't tell you all of it now. Esther fast, the Daniel fast. You can use water fast. Flush the system out. When we are light, physically and spiritually, we can move mountains for Almighty God. When we sacrifice, he says we must present our body as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. So set aside sometimes, even though your chapter might not have a set time, you personally can set aside some time and say, God, this is your time. So when we go in the secret place, we go to him also empty. You remember Naomi's account? She said, I went in full and I'm coming back out empty. So we have to empty ourselves before God. And when we do that, we need to take back our nation. We will not hold our peace, Isaiah says, until what? Whether Bahamas, Dominica, Barbados, St. Vincent, Jamaica, Guyana, Venezuela, until God give us back our nation, we shall not hold our peace. So fasting is very important. We can also use the testimony, our testimony. A lot of us have testimonies. How good God has been to us. And I spoke about the wind, the north wind, the east wind, and the west wind. Those are some examples that we can use. And what you can do is to go on the internet and type in examples of weapons of spiritual war, and you'll get them. You'll get some, may not be all, but you'll get some. And it is very important. We have to know when to use it. The right timing. Timing is very important. We also have to know how to manage our time. Time is of essence. And I want to say here, a lot of time, and nothing is wrong with it. Don't get me wrong. The secular is very important, but we're not supposed to put that before God. God's supposed to be our first. We wake up early on mornings, our first breath. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for bringing us alive, the right timing. You notice, David, I see you, they have some verses here, but I want to remind us, David went to the back, the camp at the right time. Because the army of the Israelites, they were under pressure because Goliath was tall and he was threatening them, and even Saul, they were trembling. So David, father sent him. When Holy Spirit said to move, move. You know, sometimes you're driving and you hear in your head the voice say, don't overtake that car. Or sometimes you're home and you hear, you say, oh, I have to go down. Oh, I have this to do and I have that to do. Oh, and I'm late. The delay is for a reason. You never know what the Holy Spirit is protecting you from. Delay is not danger. Timing with God is very important. If the Lord says, spend a little bit more time with me, spend a little more time with him. Whatever else is there, he's going to work it out. His timing, he's an on-time God. We don't know how, we don't know when, but he will do it again. That's a song. So the right timing, Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, Judges 4:18-21. Battle axes, please find the time to read. Right, Pamela? where to use it on the battleground. Where did Joshua, let me see, Judges 4, 6 to 7 is the scripture given. But where, you remember Joshua? Where did he say that son was killed? Janice Graham, mute your mic. When he was in the middle of the battle, they were still fighting and it was going to be sundown. So he commanded the sun to stand still. And God did not make Joshua look ashamed. And we have to remember battle axes, gatekeepers. God will never make his children ashamed. Whatever we ask him, he is a covenant keeping God. He's a God who never change. He is unmovable, unshakable. Whatever we ask him to do for us, once we step out and be obedient, because obedience brings blessings. As battle axes, we are required to be obedient. There are times when we just have to listen. That, you know, in the body, there's some people are very argumentative, and they do it with God too. And God is trying to get our attention and say, would you, you know, sometimes you say to somebody, stop, stop. You know? So we have to use it at the right place. We must be vigilant. Know when and where. Who to go with, the right company. Judges 4, 6, who to go with. Remember the account with Gideon? God called Gideon to go and fight. Gideon recognized that he needed to go back to his father's house. Sometimes when God calls us, do Psalms 51 very quickly. We have to prepare for battle. We must be in right standing. You don't go fighting certain war with any and anybody. You must have the right soldier. And God sift out the soldiers. He told Gideon, you know, take them to the river, let them drink some water. And you will watch who drink the water in their hand and were watching, or who was lapping up the water. And then God said to Gideon, these are the set. And he ended up with what? About 300. According to 2 Kings 13, 14 to 19, how to use it, the right method, how to use the right method. How to use it. And Kenya spoke about the battle axe. You have a battle axe in your hand, right? How to use it is important. You have to look at your target, which when did let go the smooth stone from the sling? Where did it go? Right through the giant forehead. You must know how to use the word of God. You must know the word of God and know which one. You remember when Peter, when the Pharisees or the soldiers came, was to capture Jesus. What did Peter did? He pulled out his sword and cut the ear of the soldier off. And what did Jesus said? Satan, I rebuke you. It's not Peter he rebuked, it's his spirit that caused Peter to go using the flesh. So we have to put the flesh under control when we are going to battle. Wake up out of the sleep and call upon the name of the Lord. How to use the right method. Place to fight from the right covering. Psalms 91. Get details and specific from God and obey his command promptly and completely. So if he says, go to the left, oh, please, people, don't go to the right. follow the command to go to the left. He says, this is my way. Don't go to the left nor the right. It means you have to keep straight ahead. He gives us hind feet to climb in high places. And he said, climb up the mountain, don't go down in the valley. And say, oh, he said, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. At that time, he didn't say go in the valley. He said, I give you hind feet to climb up high mountains. So I want you to go up in the mountain. Go in the mountain where you can sit there, feel some of the breeze, and concentrate on what I want to say to you. That is what we'll call being in quiet confidence. We have to put on the whole armor of God as in Ephesians 6. Move promptly and completely. Don't go half the way and turn back. Because if you do that, the enemy is going to, he will take charge of you. And you don't want that. To obey, we said earlier, is better than sacrifice. An athlete is discipline, very disciplined. And for the children of the kingdom, we are to be disciplined. That is why it is important to listen. You know, sometimes there are children who are very, very gypsy and they move and they're very active. We say that they are hyperactive. And then the parents have to know if the child is hyperactive, don't give them sugary food. As battle axes, there are times when we have to leave the sugary food aside and concentrate. Concentrate on what the Lord is saying to us. We have to discipline ourselves. Sabrina spoke about Usain Bolt. He had to discipline himself to know what hour in the morning to get up to go run the long road in Jamaica. He must know how much dashing he need to eat, how much yam he needs to eat. Maybe perhaps he had put away the meat. Sometimes we have to detox our body, put our body under subjection. Say, body, I put you under subjection. Feel as if you want food, but today no food. I want to concentrate on the things of my Father. So we have to control the behavior, our attitude, our outlook at things. A lot of times, the flesh, the body interferes with the spirit. You hear somebody say, I don't feel doing it. Anytime you reach to the stage of saying you don't feel like, ask yourself, why not? Why I don't feel like doing it? Always ask why. Mavet, mute your mic, please. Thank you. Keeping your body under your authority, making it to obey you. Body, I have to be up. I need to pray. My watch always from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Sometimes we have vigils and people say, oh, I can't go so late. But if you sit down and watch your TV till next morning, or you play a game on the phone until next morning. But when it comes to discipline the body to the things of God, we start nodding. So you have to speak to the body and say, body, hear the word of the Lord. Just as how the word say, earth, earth, earth in Isaiah, hear the word of the Lord. We have to command our body. We have to obey the spiritual authority, as in Romans 13, 1 to 8. Who is the spiritual authority? Jehovah God, God Almighty. He is a great commander. We have to listen by disciplining ourselves It says here, control your appetite, fast. And we said one of the weapon up here is fasting and praying and talking to God. Spend time with God. He was reminding me of that, I think, is yesterday. Spending more time with God. You know, sometimes you listen to a powerful preacher and you ask God, why can't you speak to me like how you're speaking to that person? Or how come you didn't, you're not speaking to me like how you speak to Daniel? You're willing to walk in Daniel's shoe? Daniel prayed 3 times a day, maybe more than that, but the account said 3 times a day. Are we willing to walk in the shoe like Jesus? We say, oh, to be like thee. Jesus fasted too, you know. Yes, he gave up all his heavenly privileges. Exercise, 1 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. We have to control, you know, a lot of times people want to wake up early in the morning and the first thing they want to go on the road to exercise. Devotion, put on, and then you have to hustle off to work and you forget to spend the time in the secret place. So we exercise, yes, it is important, but the word says bodily exercise profited what? Little. Nurture your health. You have to be strong. And that is why it is very important that you eat the right kind of food. You have a proper diet, work out a diet. Nurture both your bodily health, your soul health, and your spirit health. Avoid being a gluttoner. And that's the time when all the food every minute, you're hungry. So if you're hungry every minute, I want you to be hungry every minute for the word of God. As the deer panted for the water brook, so our soul must pant after you, the living God. So be a gluttoner with the word of God, not a gluttoner with the physical food. And it says, eat a balanced diet. So eat right. You remember the account with Daniel and the 3 Hebrew boys? They did not want to eat the king's food. Okay, let me go very quickly now. Sleep and rest 6 to 8 hours daily. Mark 6:31. There are some people don't get that amount of sleep, especially when you have to do vigil, you have to do retreat, you have the hour time to pray. God will sustain, but the days when you don't have that, make sure you get in some 6 to 8 hours sleep. Those who may not be working during the day, now we have a lockdown, try to get some rest. Mark 6:31. We are to be ever ready, be ever prepared to fight the good fight of faith by the rules. Don't do it your way. There's a song that says, I did it my way. It is not our way. It is God's way. It's not my will, Lord, but it's thy will be done. Do not let the words of God depart from your mouth, according to Joshua 1:8. The word of God is powerful. All right? So under the discipline of the athlete, we also have prayer. Daniel 6:10 and James 5:16. Daniel prayed. Even when the odds were against him, he was brave. The word of God say, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But we have to pray. Daniel was not afraid. We observe the Muslim. What do? At certain time, they will go at their time, kneel down and they would pray. what we can do is to prayer, excuse me. Bali, I'm in a class. All right, sorry about that. Someone was knocking at my door. Okay, so Daniel prayed in spite of everything that was happening around him. So we need to pray often, talk to God from the depths of our heart, Bible study. If we, you know, sometimes you may wake up and with the Bible study, what you can do, get somebody, find a partner. In Wailing Woman, we are partnering with each other. Say to somebody, I'm going to be up at this, say, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. I want to study 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you can find somebody, whether in the chapter or somebody else, so you have a specific time when you study the word of God together. Your emotion, we have to discipline that. If we have our personality, some people have a temperament that can be very strong. You know, ask yourself, who am I? Do some research. Who am I? Who you really are? Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He cried. He lamented. Elisha, as soon as he got the mantle and he was going up, and the children laughed at him, calling bald head, you know what he did, right? He called the bears, and the bear eat them up. But we have to put our temper under control. The Bible says we can become angry, but don't sin with the anger. You still have to balance it. Have what you call an emotional intelligence. You know, control. Galatians 5 tells you the fruit of the Spirit, one of it is self-control. So even though you might get upset based on what you say. So emotion must be talking. Proverbs 10:19, Ephesians 5:4. What do we say? We said that earlier. Words are powerful. So we have to put our words in context. Put it under control. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. What you call forth is what you're going to get. And sometimes we say things against our own self, so we have to be careful about that. Dressing, 1 Peter 3:1-6. How do we dress? When we dress, this is a kind of a ticklish thing. But dress modestly. If you put on something and you're not comfortable with it, it means something is wrong. Ask Holy Spirit if he's comfortable the way we dress. And you know, sometimes what we do, we're quick to look at another person and say, but that person just do it. No, don't depend on anybody to validate you. If you're uncomfortable with it, ask yourself, can I go into the presence of God this way? There are times when we ask God a question and he's concerned about everything that concerns us. There is nothing, it doesn't matter how minute it is, that God would not pay attention when we ask him. So if I'm going out the house and I'm uncomfortable the way I am, check, do a check and return. Don't watch the other person there and say, oh, but that person just that way. No. Time management is important. Avoid time wasters. Ephesians 5:16. time is of essence. These are the last days. The word says he will shorten the days for the elect's sake. And you realize that today is the 21st of January already. It's flying fast. And we have work to do. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. God wants laborers who are willing. He wants stewards who would say, here am I, Lord, send me. So let's not waste time. Time is our essence. Keep abreast of development around through books, newspapers, materials from the internet. 2 Timothy 4:13, 2 Timothy 2:15. That's how watchmen, when we watch our walls, when the pending dangers are there, like here in St. Vincent, we have to keep watch because there's a volcano that is acting up. And somebody sent me a video with some of their stuff from the volcano running down in one of the river on the leeward side. So we have to keep our ears open for that and know when we have to move or we have to stay. Read what is happening in the government. We have, I think the GTA deals with the seven influence of the mountain or the mountain of influence, the economy, look at the family, what is happening in the family, and it's going to help us in our chapters to know what to prefer. The government is messing up financially the economy. We have to know what to prefer. The prime minister may not be doing the right thing. We bring him before the Lord. Any nation where you find wailing women, there should be peace. Because we have to speak the word. We have to watch the gate. Whatever is coming in, when the gates are open, we have to read as Psalms 24. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up. And the King of Glory. Who are going to invite? The King of Glory must enter, not anything else. So we have to bombard the gate with the word of God and ask God to enter. So we need, as we would say, keep our ears to the ground. Watch at the tower. Keep abreast of. I think we have to read 1 Kings and 2 Kings in our chapter. That's one of two of the books that came into the prophetic word. So read diligently. Pay your taxes and your bills. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God. Be good citizens. Be good citizens. We never know who's watching us. Eyes are always on us. It might be a young person watching us to be a good role model to them. Let them see Christ in us. If we are shopkeepers or we're selling things, according to Proverbs 11:1, let us use the right balance. Avoid bribery and corruption. 1 Samuel 12:1-15. Avoid it. If somebody is saying, let's do this, I'll pay you. Once it's not the right thing, say to them, no. As believers, as battle axes, we have to stand for principles. We have to stand on the word of God. We sing the song, oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. So we are to be good examples, not only to the believers, but those who are not even of the household of faith, because they are the harvest, the wheat, and whatever there is to harvest to bring into the kingdom, cleanliness, not only ourselves being clean, but even our homes. I think if my memory serves me right, there is a chapter that would tell us about the cleaning of our homes and the bathroom and the kitchen. All right? So cleanliness is next to godliness. we are supposed to be well-rounded in the things that when God comes, he will find us watching. We will be cleansed. Avoid disqualification. The possibility of disqualification is there and it is real. Read 1 Corinthians 9:27. We are to run in our lane. Sabrina said that on Tuesday. Run in our lane so that we will not cause any accident. We will not butt up on each other and give rise for the enemy to laugh at us. There is a book that you call this Bait of Satan that talks about offenses. What we need to do is ask God, God, don't let me take any offense. Slide it and roll over. Whatever come our way, don't take it as an offense. If Sabrina has done me something, no offense, Lord. I'm supposed to be able to say to her, Sister Sabrina, let's pray. Because that's what the enemy wants. You know? He uses offense as a bait. And that will disqualify us. All right. What are some of the causes of not able to run with the rules of the kingdom? Now, if those of us who have a book on righteousness, Ezra, the book says Ezra 33:13, there's no chapter in Ezra, and that says a lot, you know. One of my students brought it to my attention. There's no Ezra 33. Now, I had to go through Ezra to figure out, because that most likely is a typing error. So what I wrote here, look at Ezra 3:13, because it's talking about unrighteousness. So I'm going to give three scripture verses that we can look at. Ezra 3:13, Ezra 9:3, Ezra 1:3-4. So I most likely strongly believe is Ezra 3:13. All right, but maybe by typing they give you a double three. That happens at times.
What is the other scripture, sister?
Ezra 1:3-4, Ezra 9:3, Ezra 3:13. But as I said, I believe the scripture pertaining to the unrighteousness is Ezra 3:13.
Okay.
But as I was looking it up, I look at all the possibilities to see which one is the right. Somebody hand is up. Ryan? Oh, sorry. Somebody behind you waving. Okay. Worldly entanglement. We are not supposed to be caught up in civilian affairs. When we did the mandate, it tells us that Wailing Woman is not a social club. It's not for idlers. It's not for gossipers. Those three things stick in my head. Don't get entangled in the affairs of the world. 2 Timothy 2:3-4, Matthew 13:23. 2 Timothy 2:3-4, Matthew 13:22. So we have to be on our guard. Don't get entangled with civilian affairs. Sometimes you might hear some people talking. Be good listeners. The word says, be hearers. Don't be hearers of the word only. And he also said, we must quick to listen, but slow to speak. Put on the antenna of observation. The more you observe, is the more you would learn. And when learning takes place, it changes our attitude and our behavior. When we come on the platform, and you go back and read the notes or the book, it is supposed to say something to us. There must be a difference within us. Uncaring attitude. As battle axes, we are to care for one another. The word says, especially those of the household of faith. Be a caring people. Make sure you look out for one another. If you have an uncaring attitude, it can disqualify us. Matthew 25, 41 to 46, Mark 9, 38 to 48. Disobedience, like Saul, Samuel told Saul to wait. Wait on him. He didn't want to wait. Waiting increases our patience. Sometimes God put us in a position that we have to wait. His answer is say, you know, Sabrina, I'm ready to give you that yet. Hold on, my child. Wait a while. Sometimes we learn about altars and we want to be quick to tear down altars. And God's saying to us, no, you're not ready to deal with that altar yet. Start with the family altar. And we say, no. God, I've been praying and fasting about this. Don't go before God. That's what Saul did. Saul was not obedient. And Samuel said to him, to obey is better than sacrifice. God wants our obedience. He delights in our obedience. And even Moses, when God told Moses, speak to the rock. What did he do? He struck the rock. That's disobedient. God may say to us, lift up your heads, O ye gates. And what we do, we open the door. He said, look up to the hills. What we do, we look across. He said, walk around silent. What we do, we prattle. So we do the opposite. But we have to listen to the command. And there are others. There are other things that can disqualify us. But I'm rushing on because my student gave me a homework that I need to attend to. There are rewards. Every obedient heart that we have, there's a blessing. God says to obey, there's a blessing with the obedience. If we disobey, we can't be blessed. God cannot curse us and bless us at the same time. He says to obey. Obey me. Hear the word of the Lord. When he speaks in a still small voice, when we listen to what he's saying, and not just listen, but when he says to move, move. If he say move in slow pace, move in slow pace. If he says at attention, be at attention. If he say fast march, fast match. And a lot of times what we do, we tend to grumble. Oh, she ain't tired, bother me. Every minute she asks me to do something. No, God knows you have the potential to do it. So you do it. Do it with all your might. Little is much when God is in it. The steward that had one talent, he grumbled and said, man, he want too much. One little talent we have, use it for the Lord. If he says your talent is to clap, clap. Don't look at the person who have to do something else. If the person is on the pulpit preaching, say, oh, she always on the, oh, she always lead in worship. Oh, she always. No, stay in your lane. And you know what? When you do the best for your master, when you fight the battle that God called you to fight, the blessings that you would receive, count your blessings, name them one by one. God is not a taskmaster. He is not the boss. He's not an oak there commanding. He gave us a free will. But you know what? At the end of the day, when the task is finished, he pays us good wages. He pays us. And there's some scripture that would tell us that he pays us. Matthew 25, 34, 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8, Revelation 22, 12, Revelation 21, 7. God is a good God. Yes, he is. He is a God of justice. He gives us our right gifts and reward. The more we do for God, it's more it will be counted. You notice Abraham pack up and he go where God called him to go. Now, I'm finished with that and I'm going to what my students say. I have a few minutes. What is a shofar? S-H-O-F-A-R. It is made from, and I had a thing of it. I would see if I could find one, because some people, it's better for them to see, you know? That question was asked by Sabrina. She wants to know about their, because it's used, and I want us, when you have a chance, go on YouTube, type in Wailing Woman Worldwide Nigeria 2014 conference, and that you learn a lot from that. If you look at Emmanuel Kerr, he used a lot of the shofar blowing. Okay, it is, look, I hope you can see it. Can you see it? Because my camera, my light is in the opposite direction. Everybody see it? Yes, it's a lot.
Yes.
It's, you know what? I have one. Hold on. I keep forgetting that I have to practice. I have to be a good shofar blower. It's just a matter of time. It was a gift given to me. Look.
Okay.
Everybody could see it. And I think somebody has said. Okay. Somebody else, Doreen has one that is bigger than mine. Somebody else is saying they have one too. Good. So it is Sabrina. It's this. I wonder if Doreen could blow hers. Dee, you could blow yours. You have to unmute the mic.
I'm trying to.
It is a way you have to. Right. It's a way you have to put your mouth on it. Like the guys are good because they could whistle. All right.
I need to practice me.
I have to practice. All right. So it is made from the horn of a ram or an animal. It's used. Yes, I'm hearing somebody else blowing. Dr. Nixon, you have your hand raised. Where is she? Okay. Yes.
I am trying to understand this.
Mm-hmm. You're trying to
this
understand.
This is my first time on the Zoom. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to understand how the function of it goes.
Well, we just start. Okay.
I do so have a shofar, but right now I don't have it on hand.
Okay.
I have a small one.
Good. So we have to practice to blow. Now, the use of it it is important for the Jewish public and religious occasion. So they use it for public and religious occasion. Somebody said its biblical and spiritual significance is important. It is sounded at the Sabbath. It is sounded at the new moon. It proclaimed the anointing of a new king. So when David was anointed, you remember what Samuel went up with? And then when a king is appointed, the shofar is being blown. All right? The significance of it is a shout of God's victory. And when you listen to the shofar blowing, you can go on YouTube and just type it in, S-H-O-F-A-R. Type it into the YouTube and you will get how you blow it, Dr. Michelle. You can learn how to blow it there. For me, is practice. I have to practice because some people put it at the corner of their mouth and get it out. It's, you have to know how to do it. It's a skill.
Well, the one that I have, it's not a large shofar, it's a very small one. And I decided to use it for oil.
Oh, yes, you can do that. I think I don't want to say, but I have to go back over with what Samuel took when he was going to anoint David, the horn of oil. I think that's it, the horn of oil, okay? So if you're using it for oil, it also have another significant. It can be blown. So it also, according to Numbers 10:9, spiritual war. Spiritual war. When there's a spiritual war, the shofar is being blown. The spirit speaks. Now, it was given to Israel. It was first given. The Torah was first given to Israel during the Pentecost. Yes, Kenya?
So, how do we use the shofar in our personal life? Like, if we, on a personal level, how would we use the shofar?
Well, on a personal level, if you want, like, spiritual growth, because the first time I blow it in the house, when it was given to me, as a gift all the way from Nigeria. And when I blow it, I went on YouTube first. They tell you how to position it on the mouth and how to blow. I did it, and it was a change in the atmosphere in the house. So if you know that there are demonic attack around your property and you have a shofar, you dedicate it to the Lord and you blow. All right? The sounding is there. So what I would encourage us to do is to go and learn. Dr. Michelle, you can use it not only for the oil, but you can also use it to blow. All right?
Well, I had intended to get a larger one. The one that I had was so small. So I decided I would use it because I tried blowing it. It didn't work. I was in many services and I tried to blow it. So I went to a service where I saw the pastor use it for the oil. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, I would use it to put my oil in. But I am going to purchase another one.
Okay.
When I travel again.
Okay.
And I will use it for the blowing. And they give you all the information for the shofar.
Yes.
There's a place in South Miami, a church I attended, that they have a store, and they're Jewish. So hopefully when I go back, if I get down there, I'll be able to get it.
Okay. Joel 2:1 said, thank you very much. Joel 2:1 said, blow the trumpet in Zion, sung the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord coming is close at hand. So as watchmen, we are supposed to blow the trumpet. All right? It's very significant in Wailing Woman also. So as good students, I was looking to see if I could get YouTube. Hold on, let me see if I can. There's a way when it is blown. Okay? Okay, go on YouTube, Sabrina and others. Go on YouTube and sing the trumpet. Doreen has her hand up, and Dr. Michelle, your hand still up? Or
I don't even know how to take it down.
Just click on whatever you clicked on to put it on, click on it to take it down. Yes, Doreen.
Okay, let's see if I can find it. This is so funny.
Yes, don't worry about it. Since I know your hand's up, I would Doreen, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I think as Kenny was asking how you can use it personally, the shofar is used like a war song. It's a war song, and you know, like sometimes you're, as you said, you're battling, you know that you're battling the enemy at home. And you have to war against that. And for me, it's like a song, not only a war song, but a song of victory, that I have the victory. And it's a warning to the enemy. You know, so you pray. And when you're finished praying, you sound the alarm. You sound, make your, blow your shofar. To let the devil know this is war. And because you are fighting under the one who is the mighty warrior, you know you have the victory. You sound the alarm.
Okay, thank you very much. Dr. Michelle, I took the
hand. You don't, and
go ahead, Doreen. Doreen, unmute the mic.
Dr. Michelle has to mute.
I'm on mute. See, I don't even know. How do I get unmuted?
Go on the mic. Go on the mic and just speak on it.
Okay. No, I'm not mute.
Hold on.
Can you hear me? Trying.
Yes, I'm hearing you still.
Okay. I wanted to really understand what the group was all about. I'm just getting in. I was invited by Kenya. And she said wailing women. I'm just trying to understand the group.
Okay.
I don't even know your name. What is your name again,
ma'am? Where you are in Bahamas?
I'm in the Bahamas.
My name is Laverne. My name is Laverne.
Laverne?
Okay, yes.
Laverne, and where are you from?
What I would ask you to do, I'm from St. Vincent.
St. Vincent.
Yes.
Okay.
What I can do for you, Dr. Michelle, at this time, because we are buying for time, I have one more homework from my student.
Okay.
Read Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9 from 17 to 21.
17 yes. to 21.
And remember, I said that somebody. Yes, somebody could you type up there? Could you type the?
I sent it to her.
Type
already.
Up the
I sent
website.
It to her after the Laverne.
Okay.
Yeah, she
okay.
has it.
Okay, so Dr. Michelle, go on the website
yes, ma'am.
Of Wailing Woman Caribbean and you will get a lot
okay.
of information there. Okay,
all
so
right.
you read the scripture there.
I can do that.
And ask the Lord to speak to you about that.
Okay,
and
ma'am.
Go on the website and look at what is there.
Okay.
Speak. All right. Thank you very much. And it's good to have you.
Yes.
I think because I think on the website, nothing on the website, there is also what you call the mandate. There's a book called A Mandate. Mine is on the, it's somewhere book. But we have books and you will find the books on the website also. All right, the person who have the mic on, could you mute it? Now the question very quickly, Sabrina asks, was I spoke about marry the land. Okay. And Isaiah 62 from verse 1 to 5. Isaiah 62 from verse 1 to 5. Let me read. The book is from Words from a Heart. And this, I'm Dr. Michelle. We have books. We have training manual 1 to 3 volume. From the Father's Heart, we have up to 9 volume. We have the mandate, how Wailing Woman came about, where it started. So you will have a lot of resources. Now, I remember reading about marrying the land and I could not, I was saying, I hope I have the words from the Father's Heart. And God, our Father, would never was to be ashamed. So I was searching today. I searched 3 other books. And I keep saying, but I know it's in the book. I know it's in the book. We were told about it. It is in the book. And by the time you know it, I found Isaiah 62, 1 to 5 came to me. So I looked at it. And then I keep searching the book. And here it was. It says, thou shalt have no more be termed forsaken. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hesabon, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord in thee, and they and thy land shall be married. Isaiah 62:4. Let me read what they have the prophecies that was given, the prophecies, words from the Father's Heart, are prophecies that were given to the coordinators. Do not just sing and pray without commitment. Take the prayer burden home and meditate upon it. Think seriously and reflect on the marriage vow and who are genuinely married, loving themselves. I am looking for those who will marry the land. Remember it says, and when Sabrina asked me that, the first thing, if I did not find it in this book, the first thing I was going to ask the class is to think about the marriage vows. Until death do part, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. How do we marry to our land? The land in which we are, it might not be the land of our birth, but we say we are going to wail and we are going to mourn for the land in which we are in. We're going to watch the walls, we are going to watch the gate, we are going to stand on the tower, and we are going to sound the trumpet. We are going to make the alarm, spiritual war time, and we are going to. It is only when there is a love that the land will be fruitful. Those who genuinely married and love themselves will produce fruit. You have come as a representative of nations. Does this matter to you what happened in the nation you represent? How many really carry the burden of a nation, and how many have married the land? Those are questions. I'm talking about marriage to the land, where you are intimately married to the land. There must be fruit. Fruit is what comes out of the marriage union and fruitfulness. I do not want you to come here as a formality and go back the same way. I want you to come here to make a commitment. I'm looking for commitment and dedication. You have to make a commitment of marrying to your nation. As simple as that. It might not be a birth nation, but the nation in which you're in, you are going to be, make sure. In other words, you're going to make sure you guard the nation through prayer, fasting, watching the walls. You don't let anything come in. You have to know about the land. You have to map out the land. And you say to God, I'm going to be a watchman for Bahamas. I'm going to be the watchman for St. Lucia. I'm going to be the watchman for Dominica. I'm going to be the watchman for Venezuela. I'm going to be the watchman for Barbados, for Guyana, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago. Whichever nation we reside in, we are going to marry to the land. We are going to be faithful. We are going to be genuine. We are going to spend time in prayer. We are going to be the serious battle axe. We are going to fight with our hands. God call us, we are going to go. If he give us a specific job, we marry to the land. When we marry to our husbands, we make a vow to him that we would love him until death do we part. If things get good, we're going to love him. If things get bad, we're still going to love him with commitment. God wants our commitment. What God wants from us is our obedience. He said, not the sacrifice I really dwell in, but it is your obedience. Okay, Lady Sabrina, did I answer your question?
Yes, ma'am, you did. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
You are welcome. So, persons have words from this heart to Wailing Woman Worldwide, Volume 6. It is all there. I know at the moment there is, in terms of, because there's a lockdown, you know, it is produced. But what we could do is pray and ask God to make a way. Bahamas may need books, Jamaica need books. Trinidad, there's the books coming out from there, but the thing is Trinidad is locked down. What we need to do as willing women is pray that God would open a door. The door that God opens, no man can shut. And the doors that God shut, no man can open. God, willing women need the books. We ask you to open the gates. Open the gates so that the book of God will find a way, just as how the Bibles used to go into China, the Wailing Woman books will go to the nations. But the website, you have the books there. You have information there. So please, yes, Dr. Michelle, you have your hands up. Maybe she can report something. The persons, please, the poll is taken. I think Sister Mona is still here. So those who may have him, like IG1, say who you are. Is Deria? I think so. All right. So I am at the end of my